verse. John chapter number 1, and we'll try to get down through, beginning at verse number 5, we'll try to get down through verse number 10 today. We started out last week on Sunday morning to get down to verse number 4. We got through verse 1, but we made it 2, 3, and 4 on the afternoon service. But we're trying to go to get down to from verse 5 down through verse 10 today as we look here concerning this work of the Lord for us. John, again writing this letter, described, as we looked last week, he described here why he was writing the letter. What was his purpose of giving them this letter? And what it was that he was declaring to them in the letter. And he describes there very clearly that he is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the Lord that he is declaring to them. Again, there in verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly," he says, "our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so he tells us here his purpose, his intention here is to deliver us this message, deliver us his witness of what he himself had seen, that we might have fellowship with them and with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. That's where our fellowship is, that we'll be fellowshipping together in these things because of the witness that John has given us. And indeed, it is John's witness. It's Paul's witness. It's the witness of the Lord Jesus himself. It is the witness of the four Gospels. It is the witness of the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets. It is the witness of the history that God has left in his word. It is the witness of these 66 books that we have before us that declare to us this wondrous work that our Lord has accomplished for us, that he has brought to us this salvation that we cannot get any other place, any other how, but Christ Jesus our Lord. That it is through him that we are redeemed. It is through him that we are cleansed before God. It is through him that life is given us, that through him we might have fellowship with he and the Father. That we would have fellowship one with another, even, as he says. And so he takes up here in verse number 5 and tells us, he says, "This then is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, John says we lie and do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. If we say that we are one with Christ, if we say we have fellowship with him and we are living our lives in sin and wallowing around in our own wickedness, he says we're lying. Because in him, in God, there's no darkness at all. And if there's no darkness in him, and we're filled up with darkness, then how can we have fellowship with him? The two can't walk together, except they agree, is what Amos 3:3 says. And so if there is darkness in us, if indeed we are filled with the darkness of the wickedness of our own sin, then we cannot have fellowship with God. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's a great many people today in our world, there's a great many people in Christianity today that are trying to claim Christ. They're holding on to a profession of him, And they're living their lives in absolute wickedness each and every day. And as far as their testimony is concerned, as far as who they appear to be, there is in them no likeness of Christ at all. It's evident in their life that at best, this fellowship is strained. But the likelihood is there's no fellowship at all. Because there are so many people, as Brother Jonathan was making the point yesterday, there are so many people that believe in God, but don't believe God. Listen, you can believe in God, as everyone does, and you're no different than the devils, because they believe in God and tremble. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say you're no different than the devils. The devils have more sense in their testimony and their understanding of who God is, because they fear God and tremble. They believe in Him and they fear Him and tremble because of who He is. Man believes in Him and doesn't care. He goes on in his sin. He goes on in his wickedness. You see, believing in Him is very different than believing Him. We believe Him because of this. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. So we have to believe Him. You say, not just believe in Him. And yet that's the seemingly the bulk of these folks today that claim Christ. They claim salvation. They have that understanding of Him. Yes, He's Savior. Yes, He died. He died for people. He died for sin. They have that understanding. They have that knowledge within them. But the reality of them believing God, the reality of that saving faith being put in them by the Spirit of God, has never taken place. And as John tells us here in our text, it is made evident. It is made evident when they themselves are filled with darkness and yet at the same time trying to claim they have fellowship. John says they're lying. You're lying, he says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now that's not a contradiction. That's not a contradiction. And we'll get to that when we get down there in verse number 8. That's not a contradiction of what John's telling us there. Because we're still in this flesh. We still sin. We still come short. If we say our sins, if we confess our sins rather, verse number 9, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. John says, I write these things to you that we would be in fellowship and that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. Here in the remainder of this passage we're going to look at today, he describes for us in the negative and in the positive how we can have that fellowship with our Father and thus have this joy, that full joy in Him. John answers the problem here of fellowship with God. And it is a hurdle that every believer has come to and realized it was much too high for them to jump over. Here, John gives us the answer for this. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you, Father, for this another day that you've allowed us to come into your house. We pray that you'd open your word before us, that you'd give us understanding of these things, Father, as we look to them, that you might open it to our hearts, that we would recognize and see your direction, your word in it for us, that we might be found faithful servants unto thy name, that we would serve you, that we would follow you, that we would do that which you called us to do. Father, forgive us of our shortcomings and our many sins, Father. How often we fail you, how often we come short of your glory. We pray, Father, for your cleansing, that you'd ever draw us unto yourself, that you'd help us to be faithful servants unto your name. Bless each soul that's come this way today, that our hearts and our minds might be turned towards you. For those that are lost, Father, we pray that you might reveal yourself unto them, that you'd cause them to see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they, even this very hour, might believe you, that they might believe you. Father, go with us now, we pray. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So he says, verse 5, this then is the message. This then, because of what he declared the purposes to be, his purpose in writing this letter, this then is the answer, or the message, as he calls it here in verse number 5, this is the message to this purpose. And it is indeed a message. It's not a list, nor is it a task. It is simply a message that describes the nature and character of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. James chapter 1 and verse 17, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no darkness in him at all. No darkness in him at all. Not even shadow, you see. No darkness in him at all. That's the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means simply God is holy. He is a holy God. Excuse me. The fact of God's holiness only exacerbates man's problem. For no man is holy. None of us are holy in and of ourselves. We don't have that in us. It's not a part of us naturally. But God is. God is absolutely holy. He is absolutely righteous. He is absolute light. And so with him being absolutely holy and us being not, there is a great chasm then that is between us and God. And so man finds himself in a predicament of trying to get to God. And how can I do that when that chasm is so wide? How can I do that when it's so far to him that I cannot reach him? How is it that I can cross this great ditch to get to him? It's the very thing that Job lamented. If you go back with me and look in Job chapter 9 and verse number 33. Job chapter 9 and verse number 33. He's describing here the Lord. He says in verse 32, "For he's not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment." That's not who God is. I can't say, "Well, Lord, let's reason this out together and come to some agreement." No, that can't be done. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He is so far beyond our ability to even understand, except that He shows Himself, except that He reveals Himself to us. So Job says, I can't simply come to Him and sit down and have a conversation with Him and reason it out. That can't be done. And so he says in verse 33 here, he said, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us." An advocate. Somebody that would stand between himself and between God and bridge that gap for him. To cross that chasm in his stead and speak on his behalf before the throne of God. If there was just a daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. If there was just somebody that could do that. Well, guess what? There is. There is. There is somebody that does that. There is someone who has bridged that gap. There is someone who has made that way for us that we can come now into the presence of God. There is someone that has allowed that to be done, that has been able now for us, because He touches God and touches us, that He can now bring us together. There is one. And there is only one. There is only one. And this is the message that John is declaring to them. "This then is the message which ye have heard of Him, and which we have rather have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Man's sin has put him in darkness. And God is light, and there is no darkness at all in Him. In fact, He dispels darkness. He dispels darkness. Darkness cannot stay in His presence. This light that describes Him here is speaking of His glory, and it is speaking of His holiness. If this then is God, if in Him is no light at, or if in Him is only light and no darkness at all, in man there is no light, there is only darkness. What hope has sinful man? Man is in himself, in his flesh. Man is in absolute rebellion against God. So how then can sinful man walk in the light of God? Verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8, 9, and 10 here, there are three different ways that John tells us that this has been tried. And only one of those ways is it done. The first method is what we find in verse 6. The first method to be able to walk with God, the first method to try to have fellowship with Him is to bring God down to man's level. That's what verse 6 is describing. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But this is exactly what man strives to do. He tries to bring God down to his level. Well, I can't get to Him. I am filled with this darkness and I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to have to bring God down to me. I'm going to have to bring Him down to my level. The heathen in the old days realized they couldn't do it. Well, I can't get Him down here, so I'm just going to make one myself. And they would make them idols. And they would make that idol of their own thinking, their own ideas, their own desires. And in that idol, they would place everything they wanted their God to be that would somehow appeal to them. And so then they would go and worship that which they themselves had made. It's their way of bringing God down to them. We do it in our day. Man just simply ignores the reality of who God is. They like the idea of God. They like the idea of eternal life. They like the idea of heaven. Hey, we like that. All sounds great. That stuff there sounds really good. But all this holiness stuff and this righteousness stuff and this stuff that God required, I don't know if I want all that or not. And so they ignore. They ignore who God is. And take an image that they've created in their own minds of who He is. And they thus have tried to bring God down to their level. If we say, John says, again, there's a whole lot of people that claim fellowship with God today when they have none with Him at all. John's pretty blunt about it here in verse number 6. He says, you're liars and do not the truth. Nuh-uh. That's John's answer to them. No. You can't say you have fellowship with God, who is absolute light, and then in turn walk in darkness yourself. You can't say that. You can't claim that. You're lying, he said. Cannot bring God down to our level because God will not. Let me be as clear as I can be with you on this. God has not, He will not, He never has, and He never will overlook any sin. Never. Every sin will receive judgment. Every last one. Every bit of darkness will be judged. It will either be judged in Christ or it will be judged in the individual. Every last sin will be judged. Every single sin damns souls to hell. There's no grading then. You can't say, well, this is not that bad. No. Every sin, single sin, damns one to an eternity separated from God. It is only in Christ that our sins can be washed away. Only in Christ, as John will say, can we meet the holy standard of God. And so we cannot bring Him down to our level. It does not matter what good man claims to have done. You cannot walk with God and live in darkness. You cannot. You cannot bring God down to man's level. When we walk in the light of God, he says there in verse 7, when we walk in the light of God and his word, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Listen, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, what that means is when we walk in Christ, when we walk in Christ, we see our dirt. We see our filth. We see that wickedness in us. And we hate it. We hate that it's there. We don't want it there. It's the thing we want farthest from us as the children of God. And our cry out to him is, Lord, cleanse us. Make us clean before you. That we'll not have this in us. That we'll not have that separation between us. Child of God goes along, he can see that spot of darkness or that dirt that rubs on us from time to time. It's called sin, and it is the blood of Jesus that literally what he says there in verse number 7, and it is his blood that keeps on cleaning us. It keeps on cleaning us. Why does it keep on? Because we keep sinning. We keep coming short. We keep failing him. But that blood is ever there. It's ever there cleaning. It's ever there washing. It's ever there making us right before the throne of God. It keeps on cleaning us. It keeps on making us fit before the throne of God. It is only his blood that is sufficient to cleanse us from our sin. Only his blood. Listen, his blood doesn't pay part. It pays for all of our sin. It pays for all of our sin. Whether it was my past sin, whether it's my present sin, or whether it's my sin tomorrow, it is the blood of Christ Jesus that has paid for it all. The second method that man tries, we find in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The second method, you see, is to bring man up to God's level. Well, I'll just solve this problem. I'll do this myself. God's holy and he wants me to be holy, then I'll just be holy. And man tries to lift himself up to God's level. He tries to elevate himself. But in order to do that, he has to deny his own sin. And listen, there are a whole lot of folks out there that try this every single day. They claimed they receive second blessing. They claim they have received total sanctification. They claim they no longer sin. There are those that have graded sin or diminished sin to simply accidents or mistakes. Well, that's not a big thing. It's just a small thing. We've even renamed them. A lie is no longer a lie. There's grades of lies. There's lies, and then there's real bad lies. But then on the other end of it, there's white lies and even fibs. We've even changed the definition altogether. Oh, that's not really a lie. It's just a fib. Even all the way down to, well, I was just pretending. You know. We grade them. We put a listing on them. Well, and obviously, if we said that's the way it should be, then God must see it the same way we do. Every single sin will be judged. It doesn't matter how we've graded it in our own mind. If God declares it sin, it is sin. It's sin. Very simple. If He calls it sin, it's sin. Most of these folks also believe they must keep. If indeed they have graded their own sin and decided what was sin and what wasn't sin, then we also find they also claim they have to keep their salvation. Well, I gotta keep it. I gotta hold on to it. Listen, if you have to keep yourself saved, you don't have salvation. If you have to keep it yourself, it ain't from God. His salvation, that which He gives us, that which comes from Christ, it is eternal, He says. Jesus declared in John chapter 10 that when we are in Him, no man, He says, can pluck you out of my hand. And my Father, who is greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, He said. If you have salvation today in Christ Jesus, He's the one that keeps it. It's already done, you see. It's complete in Him. If you are trying to keep it, then you don't have it. You need Christ. You need Him. Because He's the only one that gives eternal life. He's the only one that cleanses sin. He's the only one that makes us right before the throne of God. You must have Jesus. You must have Him. The grading of our sin to try to bring man up to God's level, we have to deny what is sin. Oh, they'll claim big sins. Murder, stealing. Those things might send you to hell. But the little things, lying, adultery, cussing. God overlooked those things. Everybody else is doing them. He'll surely let it slide. Every sin that He calls sin is sin, and every sin will be judged. Every sin will be judged. Those that make such claims are not deceiving God. They're not even fooling the others around them. They're just lying to themselves. You cannot raise yourself up to God's level. Christ Jesus has to do that. He's the one that has to bring us up to God. He's the one that spans that gap. And this is what John goes on and tells us here. Since one cannot bring God down to his level, and one cannot raise himself up to God's level, what is it that man must do? The third thing, the right thing, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess is a verb that means we say the same thing that God says. We say the same thing that God says. God calls me a sinner. Amen. I'm a sinner. God says I need salvation in Christ. Amen. I must have Christ. It is believing God. That's what it is. It's believing him. It's agreeing. Yes, Lord. What you have declared is the fact. What you have declared is the only way. And so he says, confess, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God calls it sin. We see it as sin, and we call it sin, and we hate that sin just as God does. Now, we cannot do that except the nature of God be born in us. His nature must be born in us. That's what the new birth is about. Is God coming in unto us? Jesus did not just give us eternal life. He is our eternal life. He is our life. We cannot hate sin as he hates it. And we cannot turn from that sin as he has commanded us to, except he live in us. We must have Christ. If we confess our sins, no matter how dark, no matter how bad, no matter how dirty, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. This is what he says, from all unrighteousness. This is made possible, only possible, by that agent that is found in verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ. It's what cleans us. For he took our judgment. He stood in our place. He took our sins upon himself. And in our place gives unto us his righteousness. That's only born in us, in this new birth. This agent, this blood of the Lord Jesus is only made possible by that death, burial, and resurrection. He had to give himself that your sins could be washed away. He had to give himself. He had to take your place. He had to be your substitute. Your substitute. That you might have his righteousness. Verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Don't you dare call God a liar. Don't you dare call God a liar. He declares very plainly, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. If you say there is another way, if you say, well, maybe I can have this peace this way. Maybe I can do this or do that. Maybe I can just turn over this new leaf in my life and everything will be better. If you say there's some other way, you're only fooling yourself. There's only Christ. There is only Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Turn to Him. Take that water of life freely and walk in fellowship with God. You must have Christ. You must have Him. There is no other fellowship with God. There is no other life. You must have Jesus. Believe on Him this day. Let's all stand. Brother Gordon, would you bring us a song?